Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Medical Advantage Podcast. My name is Rebecca Duke, your host for today's episode. Today, we will revisit a topic we covered about this time last year, sharing MIPS updates, which, of course, is the merit-based incentive payment system offered through the CMS, who oversees Medicare. So if you're currently participating in MIPS or considering participating sometime down the line, this one is for you. But before we get started, we'll just do a quick intro of who we are for first-time listeners. Medical Advantage provides consulting designed to help practices improve care quality, reduce healthcare costs, and increase revenue. Our broad portfolio of services optimizes operations for medical practices, specialists, groups, and private equity. Medical Advantage now offers an accountable care organization to support practice performance in a variety of ways, including the downside risk associated with MIPS. So MIPS, when you have a program like Medicare with a large patient population that continues to expand as people age into it, sustainability is the name of the game. So what can we do as a healthcare community to improve care quality so as to avert costly outcomes amongst this patient population? MIPS is a way of rewarding providers who effectively adopt a level of preventative care that avoids those extra costs brought about by things such as gaps in care and hospital readmission rates. Using a scoring system, the CMS determines whether a provider will have a positive, negative, or no impact on payment adjustments on their Medicare Part B claims. Best case scenario is to land on the positive end of the scale and earn that bonus payment. Worst case, you pay a penalty. And this outcome is determined by certain thresholds and quality scoring based on multiple factors. The CMS does regularly adjust how they evaluate practice performance with MIPS, and these changes are made public online in what is called the final rule. It's issued toward the end of each calendar year. This document is many, many, many pages long, but rest easy, we won't be reading this whole document to you today. Instead, we have Missy Thomas, our MIPS quality expert, here to share the most significant changes contained in the most recent final rule. Hello, Missy.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me today.
Of course, Missy. Thank you for being here. So can you explain a bit about how payment adjustments work?
Sure. So like you just mentioned, this program determines whether or not a provider is going to have a positive, negative, or neutral payment adjustment on their Medicare Part B claims based on the MIPS program. So keeping in mind that MIPS is strictly based on revenue neutral payments, this payment or adjustment will be applied to claims that the providers are getting paid on 2 years after the performance year. So for performance year 2023, the score received is going to have an impact on their paid claims throughout 2025. So based on the 2023 final ruling, the 2023 payment adjustment scale has not changed. It's still up to the 9% penalty or up to a 9% incentive payment. However, payment adjustments will multiply by a scaling factor to achieve that budget neutrality, which could result in a positive payment adjustment of less than the 9%.
Thank you for that explanation, Missy. So can you give us an overview of what changes are now in effect for performance year 2023?
Sure. So, you know, it's good to know that CMS continues to recognize the challenges that a lot of our providers are still experiencing. And so they continue to place the focus on utilizing the electronic health record in a more meaningful way, keeping that end goal of improving quality and health outcomes for our patients in mind. You know, I'm sure you know, that is the main goal of this program. So let's talk about the changes from that final ruling. So providers and groups are going to need to meet a minimum of 75 points total to avoid a negative payment adjustment in the 2025 payment year. CMS continues to use that mean final score from the 2017 performance year, 2019 payment year. So breaking down the 75-point minimum threshold to avoid the negative payment penalty, that table looks a little bit like this. Anything above 75.01 points is going to get you that positive payment adjustment. Greater than 0% on a sliding factor applied to meet the statutory budget neutrality requirements. If you earn 75 points, that's going to earn you that 0% or neutral payment adjustment. If you score between 18.76 and 74.99 point range, that's going to earn you the minimum negative payment adjustment, somewhere between that negative 9% and 0 on a sliding scale. And then where you're going to see the most changes in that 0 to 18.75 points, that's where you're going to see that maximum negative payment adjustment of negative 9% applied to your claims in 2025.
With these changes, would you say that this makes quality scoring more difficult?
Yes, I believe so. You know, because in past, you could still meet the performance threshold without meeting the reporting requirements for all four of the MIPS categories, but this is no longer the case. Now you're going to need to fully report on all three of the MIPS categories, you know, the fourth category being cost, which is calculated by CMS, just to have the best chance of avoiding a possible negative payment adjustment. You know, adding that CMS has done away with the exceptional performer bonus for program year 2023 as well. So providers are now going to need to maximize their points wherever they can to achieve that higher threshold so they could potentially earn those bonus dollars.
Good to know. Thank you. So what would you say is the most significant change that you've seen in the final rule?
You know, one thing, you know, you might want to take note of that, you know, I think is probably one of the biggest changes is that all the eligible providers or groups are no longer able to earn that additional MIPS adjustment for exceptional performance. If you recall, MIPS was intended to be a budget neutral program. However, for program year 2022, that will be the last year that there was money set aside and allocated for the eligible providers or groups that scored that 89 points or higher. And it's important to point out that since the exceptional performance pool of funding has made up the bulk of the positive payment adjustments received by providers up to date, and that moving forward, it's strictly going to, you know, be that true losers pay the winners model. I think, you know, as CMS begins to tighten the hardship exception requirements, you know, the bonus dollars will slowly continue to increase in the coming years. However, the, you know, upward payment adjustments for your high performers are going to remain low as long as, you know, that hardship is available for the COVID pandemic. And if that sticks around, which, as you can guess, is probably the main reason that the bonus amounts have been very small the last few years. I do want to make note of another thing that for those providers who are qualifying alternative payment model participants, the APM participants, typically, they've received a 5% APM incentive payment for program years 2017 up and through 2022. However, in December, Congress just passed its end of year spending package, which extended the value-based incentive payment through program year 2023, and qualifying participants will now receive the 3.5% for program year 2023.
Thank you, Missy, for that breakdown. So I bet many are wondering what changes are going to be made to the categories with scoring. Can you give us some specifics on what will be changing for category scoring?
Sure. So with the overall scoring, the threshold to avoid a negative payment adjustment at 75 points has remained the same. CMS did not make any changes to the category weights. Both quality and cost will remain at 30% each. Improvement activities worth 15%, and then the promoting interoperability staying at 25% each of your total MIPS score. So eligibility, that remains the same for the 2023 performance year. 90,000 in Medicare Part B charges, 200 plus in Medicare Part B patients. You need that 200 plus covered professional services.
Thank you. So I recall hearing something about practice size affecting quality scoring from previous years. Is that still in effect for smaller practices?
Yes. So smaller practices will still continue to earn those 6 bonus points in the quality category. And then in the performing interoperability category, that will continue to be automatically reweighted. You know, this will help lessen the administrative burden, and so it can shift your focus to the quality measure category for those smaller practices. So let's get on here. We'll talk some changes here for each of the 4 categories. With quality, still remains 30% of your total MIPS score. You still need to report 6 measures. Of those 6, there must still have a minimum of 1 outcome or high priority measure. They've expanded the high priority measures to include health equity related quality measures. CMS is now placing emphasis on the social drivers of health. As you recall, you know, you've probably heard social drivers of health has become, you know, the number one thing most talked about when we're talking patient outcomes. You know, most often a patient's serious health problem is often linked to either poverty or other social conditions. CMS has added 1 social drivers of health measure this year, and I would bet that moving forward, CMS is going to continue to add the social drivers of health measures, you know, to the quality category, you know, even the improvement activities, and, you know, quite possibly even adding those measures to the cost category. CMS added the high priority process measure, the quality measure 487. That is going to be your screening for social drivers of health. This measure is going to calculate the percentage of patients ages 18 and older who were screened for food insecurity, housing instability, transportation needs, utility difficulties, and then the interpersonal safety. Another change to note is that for large practices, CMS removed the 3-point floor from the quality measure scoring in 2023. So large practices will now receive between 1 and 10 points as long as they've reached the 70% data completeness requirements. They reach that minimum case requirement of 20 cases or more. If they do not meet those minimum requirements, or if the measure does not have a historical benchmark, then those large practices will receive 0 points for the measure. You know, I want to mention that small practices will continue to earn the 3 points for these measures under the traditional MIPS program. There was an update to the data completeness threshold. It will maintain the data completeness threshold at 70% for all payers in 2023. At least 70% of eligible events from each measure must be reported from the 12-month reporting period. However, this will increase to 75% for the 2024 and 2025 performance years. So let's talk quality measure inventory changes. CMS added 9 new quality measures. Those new quality measures will have a 7-point floor the first year, earning a minimum of 7 points for that new measure in the first year of reporting. Those will drop to a 5-point floor the second year, earning a minimum of 5 points for the second year of reporting. 76 measures had substantive changes. CMS removed 11 quality measures, and they partially removed 2 measures. The biggest impact with the quality measure change, I think, is that partial removal of the 2 quality measures. Those, I think, were probably the most popular quality measures reported on. These were the flu and pneumonia vaccine measures, the measure 110 and 111. And I think this change is going to be felt by the majority of the providers reporting in 2023.
Interesting. So this is going to make a big impact, as you've said. Can you explain a little bit how that will happen?
So, you know, these were two of the easier quality measures to report on for our providers. You only had to report on this measure one time during the reporting year versus other measures that require interaction at all encounter levels. Exclusions were available for this measure. For example, if the patient did not receive the vaccine, you could document the reason and you could still earn credit for that patient. CMS did, however, add a new immunization measure that includes more immunizations that they combined into one measure. Beginning in 2023, the flu and pneumonia vaccine measures will only be an option for those reporting at the MVP level. Let's go ahead and move on to the cost category. Just a few changes in the cost category for this year. Still remains 30% of your total MIP score, a 12-month reporting window. These are calculated via the administrative claims, meaning that there's no submission is needed. If practices do not have enough cases to meet the case minimum for any of the cost measures, they just won't be scored on any of the cost measures, and the points from those measures will be redistributed to other categories if none of them have met the case minimums. Your improvement activities, same with costs, just a few changes. Still remains 15% of your total MIP score, 90 days to a 12-month reporting window. Your large groups, which are those with more than 15 providers, need to achieve 40 points. High activities will remain worth 20 points and medium are still worth 10. For your small groups, those with less than 15 providers will need 20 points. And the same, high activities are worth 20 and medium activities are worth 10 points. It's important to note that groups are now able to attest when at least 50% of MIPS eligible providers in the group participate or perform the activity. In relation to the improvement activity inventory, CMS removed 6 activities, they've added 4, and they modified 5 activities. You know, one thing to note is the removal of the consultation of the prescription drug monitoring program, and that was a high-weighted activity.
So, Missy, there's a lot about weighting being mentioned here. Can you share a little bit more about how weighting works for those who are new to MIPS?
Sure. So to receive full credit for the improvement activities category, eligible providers must select and attest to having completed between 2 and 4 activities for a continuous 90 days to receive a total of 40 points for that category. So each activity is assigned a category weight, as I stated, either a high activity that's worth 20 points or a medium activity that's worth 10. So the smaller practices, those with fewer than 15 providers or even an individual provider, they only need to achieve 20 points to satisfy the PI category, which means that they could choose to report on either one high activity or 2 medium, and then that those larger practices would need to successfully report on activities totaling 40 points. So let's jump into the performing interoperability category. This category requires all or nothing participation. So that means you have to report on each measure under the 4 objectives to receive a score or qualify for an exclusion. So still remains 90 days to a 12-month reporting window. It's good to note that CMS discontinued the automatic reweighting of the PI category for nurse practitioners, physician assistants, CRNAs, and clinical nurse specialists for this year. Must meet the 2015 EHR Cures Act requirement to report this category. So that you know, required an upgrade to your EHR. CMS continues to automatically reweight for the other providers and organization types for 2023, and they also plan to maintain the application-based reweighting options for 2023. It's good to note that small practices will continue to be automatically exempt from PI, and they do not need to apply for a hardship exception. The public health and clinical data exchange objective, there was a change to this objective. CMS has now combined options one and two into a single option, where option one being that the application is completed, option two was the testing and validation phase. So now, in addition to the yes, no objective, you're now going to have to report your level of engagement beginning the program year of 2023. The SAFER guide, that's going to remain a yes, no, and the yes, no will still fulfill the measure for the 2023 performance year. That query of the prescription drug monitoring program, the PDMP, is now a requirement, no longer a bonus option. This is going to be worth 10 points. CMS expanded the scope of the measure to now include Schedule 3 and 4 drugs in addition to the Schedule 2 drugs. There are a few exclusions available. If you qualify for an exclusion, these 10 points would then be redistributed to a measure within a different objective. So basically, if you're unable to report the PDMP portion, you can still report PI, and these points will be distributed. In regards to the Health Information Exchange, or the HIE, if you recall, CMS added a second option in 2022. Well, now they've added a third here in 2023 to satisfy this objective. They've added a participate in the Trusted Exchange Framework and Common Agreement, also known as TEFCA. There's very few of these available, and this is going to be a yes-no option. The Clinical Data Registry will now be mandatory in 2023 as well.
So when it comes to hardships and exclusions, I've heard you mention that several times now. Can you share a bit more about how that works?
Sure, Rebecca. So there's two exception types available. There's a MIPS PI performance category hardship, and then the extreme and uncontrollable circumstances exception that are available to providers. The first one, the PI hardship, you can apply to have the PI category reweighted if you qualify for one of the CMS approved reasons. The extreme and uncontrollable circumstance exceptions allows you to request reweighting for any or all of the performance categories if you encounter an extreme or uncontrollable circumstance, or even the public health emergency such as COVID, that is outside of your normal control. I think the big question moving on into this year is that will CMS extend the EUC for 2023? Our prior understanding was that the COVID pandemic hardship application was only going to be available if the public health emergency was still in place. You know, as you recall, that was set to expire on January 11th. However, the Biden administration yet again extended this pandemic through the spring of this year. You know, the EUC is good for those practices still suffering from the effects of the pandemic. You know, they can either apply to have a category reweighted, or they can apply to opt out of MIPS completely without being penalized. You know, it isn't really ideal for those providers who continue to strive and work hard on quality, because as you know, more hardships that are approved equals less penalties, which in turn's, you know, going to have a smaller bucket available for those incentive payments for your providers who continue to strive hard to succeed. You know, I would wager to guess that this may be extended for the 2023 program year. However, CMS has not finalized this to my knowledge. So I would recommend you pay close attention to the CMS updates as they continue to be released.
Yes, thanks for making us aware of that. So, wow, this is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to all the details in the final rule. Amazing to think about. So can you give us a recap of all of this, please?
Sure. So to avoid a MIPS penalty for 2023, providers must reach that 75-point threshold score. There's no longer an exceptional performance bonus available beginning this year. The prescription drug monitoring program is now a requirement for the PI category, no longer a bonus. And as always, you know, your performance on the quality measures, you know, continue to be that critical key piece to your MIPS success. And also keep in mind the removal of the MIPS CQM 110-111, that flu and pneumonia measures. Those were removed from the traditional MIPS and are now only available on the MVP pathway.
Thank you for that excellent summary. Very helpful. So bearing all these changes in mind, what action plan can providers move forward with?
You know, I think maybe the first step would be to familiarize yourself with the 2023 quality measures and along with their specifications. You know, analyze the three requirements impacting the minimum points awarded for each quality measure, maximizing and understanding how you can get scored on dual measures, you know, even knowing which reporting method has the best scenario, you know, I think is just as equally important. I would then schedule an internal staff meeting to review the changes for 2023 and then share, you know, which measures you're going to focus on for 2023 reporting year. And then on a regular basis, I would run and monitor your quality reports and identify the treatment opportunities that are available. I would work those treatment opportunities. You know, by doing all these things is only going to help optimize your points and maximize your reimbursements. You know, one last thing here, I want to make a mention for program year 2022. I know we're talking about 2023, but CMS did just recently announce that they would be extending the MIPS extreme and uncontrollable circumstance exception application deadline until March 3rd for those that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic for the 2022 program year. So please, if you were not planning to report and have not yet completed the EUC application, you know, to prevent earning that negative payment adjustment, reach out to us. You know, we can assist with completing and submitting the application. And again, this will just prevent the negative payment adjustment from being assessed to you in 2024. So, and you know, we're here and happy to help anyone with their MIPS reporting burden. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out.
Thank you so much for all this valuable information and for extending a helping hand to people who are trying to make adjustments to all these changes coming all at once. We're all up to speed now, thanks to you.
You're welcome, Rebecca. Have a good afternoon.
Same to you. And this concludes our discussion for today. Thank you, audience member, for joining us and staying with us thus far. Should you have any questions about quality scoring, how to better manage reimbursement for Medicare, or how joining an ACO could possibly help, please email us at info@medicaladvantage.com or visit medicaladvantage.com for more information. We hope to have you back for our next episode.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.